Hope 103.2.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen.
We don't often do this, but we do need to revisit. Yesterday, people were calling and telling us their stories about creature invasions because my poor housemate had been woken in the night by a little roach visitor crawling across her. Lovely. So we're talking about your creature invasions. Maria, we needed to give you one last word on this. You've had a creature invasion.
Helen, I have had a creature invasion. On Sunday night, I went to bed as usual, did about half an hour of reading, put my reading glasses in the case next to my bed and went to sleep. Then at about 11:30, you know when you wake to a noise that you know shouldn't be happening? And I woke to the noise of my reading glasses dropping with a big thud to the floor. And because I know my bedside table's right next to my head, and I turned the light on and looked down beside the bed, and there were my reading glasses with a sort of a tail sitting on top of them. And I woke my husband and I said, Dan, there's either a big rat, a big blue-tongued lizard, or a snake right next to my bed. And so I said, quick, get the torch, get the torch. So we turned the lights on. We tried to keep everything calm. He went and got the torch to look under the bed, lengthwise. And in the meantime, it had moved, and the tail kept moving and moving, and I realised there were no legs, and it was a snake.
Oh, my goodness. So that was right up on the bedside table near your head.
It was next to my... It would have been next to my head to have knocked off my reading glasses, and all my books were askew as well. So it was definitely up there, and now it was on the floor, so then we had to work out what to do.
You just wouldn't have recovered if that had crawled over you in the night, would you?
I think, look, I would be in therapy if that crawled over me in the night. I would not have recovered. It's just horrible.
So what did you do with it?
So we went crazy on the internet looking up snake catchers, and then my husband said he could, because when I said that fella down the road had also found one in their backyard, and he picked it up. So then my husband said, well, cancel the snake catchers because I'll never live it down. Start looking up do-it-yourself methods. We switched over to that and found some unusual things on YouTube, so we skipped over all that and said, look, we're just going to have to work it out. So we cornered it in a fashion and got one of those big plastic storage boxes, took the lid off, made it so it had no exit except to go into the box, and then as it did, we just danced yelling, put the lid on, but I just frisbeed it over to him because I wasn't going anywhere near it, and he slammed the lid on, and it was barking up by this stage and getting quite unhappy. And the thing was, it was so thin. The first third of it was thin. The next third of it was really, really fat.
Uh-oh.
The last third of it was thin. So I don't know what it ate in here, but it was digesting it. And then Dan took it out and released it in one of the reserves.
Oh, that's terrifying. Did you get any sleep for the rest of the night?
Well, we couldn't sleep. So we were up till about 2:30, 3:30, Dan made us a hot chocolate. We just sat there reliving it all and all the what ifs. What if this had happened? What if that? Because the baby was asleep in the next room.
Oh, no.
Carpet snakes, we believe, are, you know, not good with babies.
Oh, I don't think any snake's good with anybody. So
no.
Oh, thanks for the creature invasion. What do you do to prevent them next time?
Get screens.
Oh, okay.
A pawpaw tree right outside our bedroom window, and it just, I think it crawled in through there.
Oh.
So that has to be screened now.
Oh, thanks so much for telling us, Maria.
You're welcome, Aaron.
That's an awful story.
Hope 103.2.
We're talking to somebody who's come up with a very interesting way to raise his kids. Peter Ryan, now you've got two teenage boys, a bit worried about this generation, so you've started an international movement in response?
And why not?
Why not?
Why not? Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Peter. Now, what is going on with International Be a Gentleman Day?
Well, it is a bit of a reaction to a lot of conversations my wife and I were having just about observations of behaviour, and, you know, that's on public transport, but it's on in society in general as well. I thought, well, you know, we could sit around the dinner table having a bit of a whine about it, or I could try to do something small about it.
I think that most of us would have some great excuses as to why we're not that courteous or observant or that caring. I imagine we're just too busy to worry about that kind of stuff anymore would be something you'd probably hear a fair bit.
I hear a lot of excuses, and I don't ask for them, but people give them to me anyway. very, very busy, time-poor society. Nobody else cares, so why should I? Feminism has destroyed, courteousness towards women. A lot of these things, and they're excuses. It's not taking ownership of, our responsibilities within a society.
So what are the values you're really promoting through International Be a Gentleman Day?
Well, I've thought long and hard about this, and I think it all comes down to empathy. You can have a whole list of behaviours of, holding the door open for the next person and letting people in traffic because, guess what, you're not going to get there any quicker. But I think it all comes down to empathy, to having the radar on and just taking care of those around you. It's a whole, it's a do unto others message, really.
And sounds like that's not a gender thing. You're not just targeting the men with this?
No. And look, I searched for a gender-neutral term that actually had some meaning, but it's actually really hard. So I did use today's gentleman because, I'm a man. I think I can talk to that fairly well. But, I do. I think it's gender-neutral and it's about everybody looking out for each other.
And what do your sons make of it?
Well, they are 10 and 8.
Oh, right.
So I think it's a little bit of a novelty for them. I hope that I've brought them up well, and I think they have very good hearts and look out for other people. So, proof will be in the pudding. So we'll see how they go when they get to teenage years and they get to those selfish years.
I guess so. Be a Gentleman Day, it's 22nd of February. How are we meant to celebrate, be involved, be part of this?
Well, look, I just wanted this to be just something that people refocus on some of those things that they might have forgotten, some of those things that they might have been too busy to think about on a daily basis, or in some cases, try on some gentlemanly-like behaviour for the first time, perhaps, I don't know. And for others, look, it's going to be business as usual, really, but I don't want anybody to go out and buy a novelty bow tie or bowler hat. It's not what it's about. It's about redefining what is gentlemanly behaviour in modern society. So it's about just looking out for people around you and, helping those in need, giving up your seat for somebody who might need it more, and those sorts of, good neighbourly activities.
Great. Well, we might check in with you again on the day.
Oh, that sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Much appreciated. Today's-gentleman.com, that is the website to go to, and I think it is a fantastic initiative. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
What a great idea, and the 22nd of Feb, of course, every day we should try.
Yes.
But there's a particular attention on that day for us to stop making excuses and start being gentleman-like.
And not just pretend we didn't see the pregnant woman standing on the train when we're on that comfy seat.
Comfy seats on trains? But anyway, on the seat anyway.
Yeah.
Hope 103.2.
We've just been talking about International Be a Gentleman Day that's coming up on February 22nd. And Annette, it's got you thinking about when we do these chivalrous acts.
Yeah, it's like these days in our world, people don't know how to accept it. A lot of young girls won't be to having the doors open for them, and I know my daughter, she's a teenager, and she'd probably sort of like, well, what are you doing? I'm capable of doing
it. Yeah, I can open it myself.
Yeah. So what's your problem? And also, I've seen people offer other people a seat on the train, and they just go, oh, no, I'm right, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to respond or to just accept it, a gift of graciousness and politeness.
Yeah, to be honest, on the train, I just get up and walk away from the seat and just hope that they're the person who's going to sit down in it.
Yeah.
That it's not awkward for them. I'm not saying, I think you're old or I think you're too pregnant to stand up. I just sort of get up and subtly move away.
Yeah, but I think a lot in our culture, we're not sure of how to respond or react to those sorts of things either, which is the whole train thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're used to having bad things happen or hearing bad things happen. So if someone was to help you with their shopping, you'll imagine they might run off with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're doing something nice for you, there's strings attached, like they want to sell something to you.
Oh, they're going to ask you for money at the end.
That's right. So I guess we've become a little, paranoid, or perhaps we've just heard so many bad stories.
A bit cynical.
We're a bit cynical. That's a word.
It's a good point.
Yeah. I offered to help a lady with her shopping, Because I said, oh, where are you going? I could see her husband was in the car. And she gave me this look like, are you going to run off with my shopping?
It's okay, I've got my own milk and toilet paper. I'm really just giving you a hand.
Yeah, if you've got no chocolate in your bag, just say.
It's a fair comment. But, I mean, what can we do then? I guess what's the solution?
I don't know. I think it comes from, like, training our children. I've heard of, like, date nights where the father will take their daughter out for a date and the same for the mother, and they train them that way. So this is what's acceptable and this is what's not, you know.
Yeah.
For those things to happen, you know, like, you know, a boy... It is really nice if a boy opens the door and don't just give him a filthy look, you know, like, what are you doing? Accept it. And I think training can be done that way.
Hmm.
That's a good idea. That's a really... So modelling it, I guess, as parents, modelling it to kids as they grow up. So, because, yeah, I guess we have lost a lot of that. And the hard-to-accept aspect is something we've got to keep in mind if you're being today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Annette. Appreciate that.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
I mentioned that again and asked the question, what time did you go to bed last night?
Oh, gee, going to bed and getting to sleep were two very different things last night. And then, okay, of course, there was the having a weird dream and waking up at 2-something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, look, not great on the sleep front today, but, you know, I always have that thought ever since one of my best friends had a baby a while back. You know, all I have to do today is go to work and get through work and then go home. I don't have to chase around a toddler.
Yeah.
I don't have to care for the needs of an infant on this little sleep, so I really don't have too much to complain about.
Oh, that's cool. I was at 10:30, which is a bit too late. That's too late to be in here at this time.
Uh-huh.
I say all this not for any other reason other than a news story that says a lack of beauty sleep, as it's called, according to the paper, increases the risk of heart disease by 48%. So all you early risers this morning who are up now and didn't go to bed quite as early as you should have.
Or getting home from work now.
Or getting home from work. Mm. Well, make sure you get your 8 hours. But actually, it's getting less than 6 hours sleep, which...
Oh, okay. 11, 12, 1, and can 2, that be broken 3, up 4. A little bit? What if you have it in bits?
I'm not sure the study goes that far.
Right.
But less than 6 hours sleep almost doubles, which is 48%, your risk of heart disease. But it's true, if you sleep less, I've heard nutritionists tell me this, that you crave foods that are higher in carbohydrates and fats and stuff like that. And also,
I thought it might have been the bucket of coffee you have a tendency to just drop your face in every morning.
Well, that could be part of the... It's true, and just sort of slurp it down. There is increased blood pressure. If you don't get enough sleep, your blood pressure does increase. So there's all these bad things. So go back to bed. if you woke up now saying, oh, it's, you know, early bird gets the worm, blah, blah, blah. No, if you didn't get enough sleep, you're getting closer to heart disease.
Early bird gets the heart disease.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, it's too late for us. We're stuck here now, so we just can't do that. But
we'll be here with you when you wake back up again. Talk to you then.
About 8 o'clock. Good morning.